Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to a Meatloaf Monday, because it's all about food. You know what I'm saying? It's a Meatloaf Monday, so hit me some meatloaf, man.
I think I'll try the meatloaf sandwich.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, meatloaf.
What is it?
I'm only asking in case I have to describe it later to a doctor.
Look, it's nutritious. It's delicious.
Made out of meat. Add ketchup if you want. I couldn't care less.
Happy Meatloaf Monday. And pushing the buttons on the board and already hungry, I'm sure, is JP. Hey, man, how are you?
Yeah, I'm more hungry now. Every time.
Big sports weekend.
It was.
War Eagle.
Roll Tide. They both got
I'm
the win.
I'm saying, man, it was something else.
Saturday and then Sunday with the NFL games, it was awesome.
I think that the Auburn-Tennessee game, though, has to be like one of those that pins and needles kind of games where you're down to the wire and the three-pointer goes in and the crowd goes wild. And
I think the largest lead at any point in the game was 5. So it was back and forth the whole game.
That's legit.
Yeah,
And then Bama over LSU, right?
Bama did their business as well. So it was a great weekend for both teams.
And then you predicted the Bills, didn't you?
Yeah, the Bills got hosed by the refs, though. They did. There's been a lot of discussion about that today.
I want to talk about it later, but was there really a call where the refs said that we can add a score if they don't quit?
So that was in the Eagles-Commanders game.
The Commanders
got 3 offsides back-to-back-to-back to try to stop the tush-push. And the ref said, we've advised the coach that there's a rule that we can give them a touchdown if they do it again.
Well, I've never heard of that rule.
Either. Yeah.
I mean, the whole world hadn't heard of that rule.
Yeah.
All right. Enough on sports. We'll probably chat about it more later as things go on. But, hey, listen, we got a great show light on for you, and I'm looking forward to it. So coming up at 4 o'clock, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, former candidate for sheriff in Jefferson County. He, by the way, is the host of the Liberty Minute podcast that we run here on Right Side Media. But Jared Hudson calling in at 4 o'clock because there's been some pretty significant things happening in the world of, interdicting human trafficking. And he's right smack in the middle of it. So we're going to talk to Jared Hudson later in the show at 4 o'clock. Stand by for that. And then I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, man. So hit it.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, confirmations, ! Yeah, we saw a flurry in the last 72 hours. We had 2 major cabinet positions that were sworn in over the weekend. And there's been a little bit of drama, and then there's also been some hectoring by the libs. And then there's been some activity, like, right off the bat. I'm enjoying this, the confirmations right now. Right now, we have a team going, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of them get in. But we'll talk about the Trump confirmations, number 1, on the Triple Dipper, and I'll update you on all of it. Number 2, yeah, you gotta love this. So what was one of the biggest issues in the entire campaign cycle? The southern border, immigration reform. The ability to stop illegal immigrants from flooding our nation. Well, number 2 on the Triple Dipper, the deportation machinations are underway, man. I mean, like, over the weekend, it got real thick. Even saw some major embedded press video. Even Dr. Phil went out with Tom Homan and did some raids. We'll talk about it. Number 2 on the Triple Dipper, the deportation machinations. And then number 3, in conjunction with that phone call with Jared Hudson, save our kids. Do we know yet where all the hundreds of thousands of missing kids are that the Biden administration lost? Have we seen what's happening with predators being caught, like, right here in our backyard? We'll talk about it. All of it. Save our kids. That's number 3 on the Triple Dipper. All right, listen, we got all kinds of stuff laid on right now, but let me jump on over to the Right Side Way. The opening monologue for the day, as always, brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, law firm of Wilmer and Lee, a partner there. He's been in practice for 30 years. He's the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about him here in a few minutes. So something big happened over the weekend. Something that I believe sent shockwaves around the world. And you may have seen it. It was a shot across the bow. It was the proverbial rattling of the cage. But if you get down to it, what happened really wasn't that hard. Basically, the world found out that if you fool around with Trump, you find out fast that he says what he means and he means what he says. And the president of Colombia, yeah, just learned that the hard way. He should have known better when the world saw that Trump had the Andrew Jackson portrait rehung in the Oval Office. I mean, Andrew Jackson, the strong and deliberate leader, known for taking hard stands and doing hard things and overcoming adversity and opposing his enemies. Andrew Jackson, who famously once said, "I was born for the storm, and a calm does not suit me." Andrew Jackson, whose men called him Old Hickory because of his stalwart willingness to suffer right along with his troops in battle and even spend his own money to make sure his troops had what they needed. Andrew Jackson, who told the boys from Tennessee to stand firm and hold their fire till they could see the whites of their eyes, and he won the Battle of New Orleans. Well, apparently, Donald J. Trump identifies with Andrew Jackson. And the president of Colombia just decided to fool around and find out. So let me start, though, by reminding y'all of something that I told you once before. To lay the foundation for where I'm going next, I have to say this. You see, I married a sassy woman. I did. It's true. My team overseas often referred to my sweet, demure Southern wife as the Sergeant Major because she was the only one who could say things to me that needed to be said sometimes. More than once, Sergeant Borden would look at me in Baghdad and ask, "Sir, am I going to have to call the Sergeant Major?" And I'd laugh, but he was also serious. In one of those examples of this, I have to tell you about a phrase that we use in our house because of her. So one of my favorites that has come about in recent years that is said all too often and yet not enough by my sweet, sassy wife. She'll correct me on something. Or she'll tell me my favorite old shirt doesn't look right, or that I have to actually shave for church or something like that, or that I need to stop working late. And when I look at her like I'm about to say something back, she'll just point a finger at me and emphatically say, "I say what I say." And that's the end of it. Like, that's it. No reply warranted nor desired, apparently. The final word has now been spoken. I can try to argue, but she can't just say what she says to me like that until I've had my own say, which usually gets me a second round of "I say what I say." But with a smile that is totally disarming. And yes, I did in fact marry a sassy woman, and I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest. But the "I say what I say" is a phrase that we might use in our family, but how often do we see that in real life? I mean, we don't always get folks who are willing to say what they say and stand by it. Sometimes that can be a matter of deception. I mean, maybe they say one thing and do another with intent to deceive, and this is not meant to mean that you might not have to develop your position, you know, a little bit as facts arise or when you gain a better understanding. That's different. That's wisdom. That's humility. I'm talking about those times when you know that you know that you know that your position is correct. It's a matter of fact. It's a matter of principle. It's a bedrock belief. And you say what you say with the same confidence. But the opposing side doesn't always like it, right? And too often we see that confidence erode on the spot when opposition begins their pounce. I know sometimes it's simply a matter of having a fear of standing their ground. I mean, literally, they say what they say, but can they say it twice? Can you say what you say, but when your questions still hold your own? Can you stand by your views, your beliefs, when the going gets tough? When cancel culture comes knocking, and believe me, it will, can you say what you say, no matter what they say? But this past weekend, y'all, this past weekend was an example of "I say what I say" on the international level. So if you haven't already heard the story, let me just lay it out for you. What we know is the Department of Homeland Security has already begun rounding up illegal criminals, conducting targeted raids all over the nation. Sanctuary cities are having a come apart because Tom Homan keeps showing up with warrants and doing what he said he'd do. And the deportation flights have already begun. Planes are actually departing U.S. airfields as fast as they can fuel them up. And over the weekend, two plane loads of Colombian illegal immigrant criminals lifted off to return their passenger cargo to their country of origin. Somewhere in mid-flight, the socialist El Presidente of Colombia decided he would not accept them. Colombian President Gustavo Petro decided he wasn't going to take his own criminals back, so he denied the planes access to Colombian airspace. Okay, well, Trump said what he said and apparently he meant it. So in a statement that was issued immediately without hesitation, President Trump called out President Petro and announced that the U.S. would be placing a 25% tariff on all Colombian exports to the U.S. And if the policy didn't change within 1 week, the tariffs would be increased to 50%. Listen, y'all, Colombia is the U.S.'s third largest trade partner in Latin America with a trade balance in excess of $33 billion annually. Everything from coffee and nuts and petroleum products to bananas. Not only that, though, not only did he threaten the tariffs and say he was really going to do it and began putting it all in motion, he also shut down all visa applications from Colombia, and he threatened to expel their diplomatic staff from the U.S. Within an hour, the president of Colombia caved. I mean, oh, at first he tried to blow up and claim he would enact his own tariffs, but that went away like smoke in the wind. He caved because he knew that Trump said what he said, and he meant it. In fact, Secretary of State Marco Rubio confirmed it all in a statement from the Department of State. Flights of illegal immigrant criminals are now heading to Colombia again, and in fact, El Presidente of Colombia has even offered to use his own aircraft to help assist. President Trump issued a follow-up statement saying that he has now put a tariff order on hold, and that this is the foreign policy equivalent, I would say, to a complete beatdown, a shutout, like a no-hitter. But here's the thing. This event went far beyond just our relations with Colombia, because in my opinion, the whole world took notice. Every nation that's about to receive a plane load of their own criminals returned to their borders just sat up in their chairs and took note that if they want to keep their good relations and trade agreements and have diplomatic relations with the U.S., they'd better take them back. Period. End of story. But I anticipate that it went further than that. I think the world at large, even our allies, just saw Trump make an immediate, decisive act. I mean, the man was playing golf, for crying out loud, and he still got it done. He issued an immediate proclamation. He called out another world leader. He put American interests first, and he won. Gone are the days of appeasement and apologies. Gone are the days of putting a lid on the White House for afternoon naps and long weekends at the beach. Gone are the days of finger-pointing and giving away the farm so we can claim some kind of rapprochement that does not do anything except sound squishy in the end. No more of that. America's back. We will not be bullies, but we will also not be bullied. And I, for one, am glad. We needed that person who was battle-born and heavy-tested, someone who was willing to lean into the wind, set their face like flint, and dare to oppose enemies while also mentoring those that they lead. Someone who, like Andrew Jackson, can say, I was born for the storm, and a calm does not suit me. So basically, Donald Trump just looked at the world, pointed his finger, and said, I say what I say. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, Charlene says that to me sometimes. The I say what I say thing. But y'all, I'm telling you, that's exactly what you just saw. The president of Colombia fooled around and found out when Donald Trump said, I say what I say. And he backed down quick. And the whole world took note that it's a new day with America. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we are back right now. It's Meatloaf Monday. Text lines, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Text line is still struggling, though, right now. Just be aware that our texter machine apparently is down momentarily. We'll reboot it. It'll be fine. It'll come back.
It'll come back
it's
eventually.
It's gotta.
It had a long weekend.
It's gotta. It had a long weekend. You had the long weekend.
Yeah, I did.
That is all self-imposed.
Yep.
I do not want to hear complaints.
100%.
All right, hey, listen, all kinds of stuff going on here. I got to tell you, though, about attorney Stan McDonald. So Stan McDonald, I know him personally. I think the world of him. He's the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee in Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. And look, not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs, but I happen to know personally that Stan has been a warrior on the things that Right Side Ruffians care about in the cultural, political sense for years. So attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years. He can represent you in state, local, and federal courts. And I like to say, when Stan McDonald is on your side, you will have no greater friend, and your adversaries will have no greater foe. So the bottom line is this. If you want an attorney in the Huntsville region, let me just give you his number. You ready? I'm going to tell you how to reach out to him. Attorney Stan McDonald, law firm of Wilmer and Lee, an America First family man. Here's his number, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. And tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And then here's that ridiculous disclaimer. You ready? No representation made. The quality of legal stories before is greater than the quality of legal stories before with other lawyers. That was a good one.
It was.
That was a real good one.
We may have to record that one.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So the text line came back?
Mine did, at least, yes.
Oh, well, yours did. Oh, thank you. We have two different screens here, so let me just go ahead and reboot mine and see if it's back.
If you want in the meantime, I can read out a couple of them.
Something's happening. I see it. It's coming. Okay, anyway. Yeah, read a couple.
Allie from Athens said,
yeah,
quote, Born for the Storm and Charlene the Lovely. Does it get any better than this? That's what Allie from Athens said. Bruce from Springville said, old boy in Columbia got the old fashioned butt whipping from Trump and got his got his nose put in the corner.
Nice. By the way, Charlene just texted in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she just texted in. She said, people are going to believe you actually listened to me. I do, baby. all right, what else we got there?
John from Huntsville texted in, said, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, I've got to give JP a shout out for making his off the bench show absolutely amazing on Saturday because he made it to where I could give out grades to college football teams. Yeah, we did several segments doing grade recaps on SEC teams, and John got to do his grades. Got nice. To text in his grades for all.
Nice.
He said, by the way, I agree with JP that the refs got cheated multiple times. Make sure the Chiefs get to play in the Super Bowl, and that's why I picked them to win it all.
Yeah. Who was it on Friday when you were doing your JP on sports said, yeah, but they got to play against the refs,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, somebody, I can't remember who it was. It said the Bills going to have to beat the refs. They did not.
They did not beat the refs.
Right. John from Harvard said, Phil, the best part of the Columbia deportation affairs, Trump did it all while he was golfing.
Yes.
He announced the tariffs on the third hole.
Yes.
By the time he got to the eighth, Columbia had caved. Trump finishes round three under, but Trump was wrong. I'm still not tired of all the winning.
And by the way, those were par threes.
Yeah.
He was blazing through the course, and he still got it done by hole eight. All right, what else?
Oh, here comes the music.
Music's on. We'll get more of these when we get back, because mine's back now, too. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Yeah, text lines are indeed back up and running. We got a few of them before the hour, for the half-hour break, and it's 833-687-4448. You can text it or call it. Hey, I will tell you, too, before we go too much further, the latest edition of the Controversial Mom podcast came out last night, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, what was the title for this one? I don't remember now.
The Don't California or Alabama.
Don't California or Alabama.
Pretty good one.
Gotta love that. Yeah, Emily Jones does a great job with the Controversial Mom podcast. And so, we're proud to have her on the team. And if you haven't checked it out, go to YouTube or to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Look up Right Side Media. Check out all our stuff. But, yeah, the latest Controversial Mom podcast is out. Let me go to the phones real quick. Line one, Wolverine Dan. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Well, doing quite well. I'm glad for the fact that we're going in the right direction. That's why I voted this way.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking of voting for our president. And what he promised us, and he's doing quite a bit of it, and there's still more to be done, but I think he's on the right track. The thing I want to try to emphasize is this. There's far left, there's far right, and then there are some on the left that are not as far, and they want to be on our side, but what the problem is sometimes, and I think this term might be better for the president, he's wording things better, he's not agitating as much, and I think that's very important to be a leader of this free country, but also to be a unifier. And this is one of the things I think in people in the audience, it's wonderful to gloat. It really is. It's great to be a winner, okay? But when you glow like that, there might be people that are contemplating maybe coming to our side. And when you glow like that, it makes people kind of realize maybe I shouldn't be part of this party because there's people out there gloating. And I don't think that's good for us as a country, for other people that want to possibly join our group, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you. So what would you see done different that you have seen that didn't go the way you think it should have gone in the last few days?
I'll take a thing for President Trump. Winning's gonna be the key. You just win. You do the best you can. You put out good policies and you win the day. or I should say you win the 4 years of his term, and we go from another four, hopefully, in the same direction. But the point is this. Keep building a base group that wants the same things, that sees not only the president implementing them, then reaping the benefits, meaning a secure border where you don't, maybe these criminals can go back to where they came from, bringing factory jobs back in this country, and your investments are doing quite well. Everybody's getting a piece of the pie. That winning alone, and I'll take it from President Trump saying it, winning like that, it's going to make this country even stronger, and who knows where we could go with this. I'm hoping we can get anywhere near as close as the World War II veterans and the people of that era that sacrificed everything to this country and made it so great. That's what I'm looking for, Phil. I want that.
I would agree with that, man. I tell you what, too, I'm a big fan of a I think it was Cristiano Ronaldo anyway, but he said, I don't play always for the idea of winning. I play against the idea of losing. And sometimes, exactly. Sometimes you got to be more in tune with we will not lose than the triumphant I just won kind of thing. It's
wonderful to be Christian-like, and we all want to be Christian-like, and we need to treat other people like that, even though they might not be treating us well. You turn the other cheek and you say, you know what, I'm going to do what I can to make this person realize we're not such bad people and we're all for the common ground, which is prosperity and wealth and love for everyone.
I think the key is going to be, too, to see whether or not Trump derangement syndrome prevents people from seeing that good things are happening. That's going to be interesting to watch as the first 4 year Trump administration was a constant series of barrages. He could do nothing right. It didn't matter just because his name was Trump. And you saw it during the campaign season. I'm wondering right now, as they begin to see the border become secure and the economy go up and are standing on the international stage, are they going to allow themselves to say, well, you know what? That's actually working.
Well, they can do that all they want. In my closing, they could do that all they want, Phil. But if you look at your investments, you look at the prosperity of the country, you look at the borders being secure, you feel safer in your country, and there's more opportunity now than there was the previous 4 years, those are concrete evidence that you're going to be fine. So disregard with the talking heads. Look at your investments and the way your life is. That determines if it's a victory or not.
Outstanding. Appreciate you, Wolverine Dan.
See ya.
Yeah, good. I mean, I got an amazing audience. You know what? Think about what that was like an off the cuff call. That was like he could host his own show.
That's a solid conversation.
I'm just saying. Several more text messages, and we come back from the break in a few minutes. I will get you guys caught up with the next dipper. But Jeff from Indiana just texted in. He says, yeah, Phil, I got one of those Kentucky gals, and they are and they are stubborn as a Kentucky mule, and will give a bloody lip, as I found out one time when I was teasing her and we were dating. Oh, wow. And I twisted her arm behind her back, and when she said let go and I didn't and laughed, all of a sudden I had a bloody lip. Well, Jeffro? Anyway, you apparently have hung on to her all these years. Either that or she hung on to you. Rhett from Danville, Alabama says, kind of like this guy, I have spoken, period. And he shows us a picture of one of the characters from The Mandalorian saying, I have spoken. Perfect. JT Lacey Springs says, I suspect other coffee and tea countries would have jumped in with both feet to sell goods to the U.S. if tariffs had been enacted.
Yep.
Probably true.
But like, it's like they see a brief, like they act like, oh, we can't get coffee beans any longer from anywhere. There's going to be no coffee anywhere. It's like,
there's going to be coffee.
Yeah. It's like, first of all, Colombia is going to, they're going to fold. And then if they don't for some reason, then I'm sure America's going to find a way to get coffee.
Listen, Colombia, and by the way, Colombia's biggest export is actually petroleum products. They are a petroleum net exporter. And we're one of their biggest customers. So yeah. And, you know, there was a time when, and it still is, narco trafficking in Colombia, you know, the Medellin cartel and all that was just a massive, massive issue. And we helped them clean a lot of that up. It's still there, but we helped them clean a lot of it up to the extent that we actually have relations with Colombia that are pretty solid, generally speaking. But this new socialist president they've got, Gustavo Petro, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm willing to pay a little bit more for a short period of time for foreign policy you know, if it takes getting these people out of our country.
Luckily, so far, we haven't had
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Although, have you seen, how many times have you seen liberals, including liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin yep. from Birmingham, saying, so the price of eggs hasn't gone down yet? He's been in office for 5 days. Yeah. I mean, today's 1 week.
Yep.
He has literally been in office for 7 days as of 2 hours ago.
It's just,
come on.
It's coping.
It
that's every time I see it, that's what I think.
It's or just, lack of
just,
coping.
It's just coping.
Yeah, their inability to cope. Red from Tony, Alabama says the fool around and find out season is underway. Yes, yes, it actually is. What else we got here? I had to refresh. I don't know what's going on with our texter. Why is it doing this to us lately?
I don't know.
JT Lacey Springs again said, we already got that one. And Red from, that was the last one. Okay, last so one. I'm caught up. I refreshed for no reason. All right, listen, we're going to be doing a whole section here on the confirmations, but if you did not see it, this past weekend there was a flurry of stuff, related to the existing nominees, some of whom have yet to be confirmed, but there was also, oh, by the way, a flurry of stuff from those who did get confirmed. Kristi Noem, I'll talk about that in a minute. She is now on the job as of Sunday. Pete Hegseth, now on the job as of Saturday morning. And listen, they're already making waves. And then you've got Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the Colombia thing. He's all in, brother. And he's also taking his very first trip. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes down towards Latin America, and I'll tell you where. All that to say, the Trump team got busy and got busy fast. And we got some serious hearings this week. I mean, some of the most contentious hearings in all of the nominees are going to be this week. The ones that the Democrats have been salivating for, the ones that they can't wait to make sound bites over, the ones that they don't know if they can block, but they're going to do all they can. So, we got some big doings coming up with the confirmation process, but so far, the Trump team, every time they get on the job, they just start getting busy, and I would want nothing less. I mean, think back to the last 4 years. Do you even know who some of the cabinet members were? I mean, there were some like Mayorkas that we knew just because we were always aggravated with him. And then there were some like, you know, Merrick Garland. Okay. Who exactly was the Secretary of Defense? Oh, that's right. It was Lloyd Austin, the guy who went AWOL twice while he was on the job. It's been an amazing 4 years. But what we're seeing right now is that a team is coming in. And so far, I don't have any complaints. And listen, I'll be honest with you. On this show, I will call the balls and the strikes. I call out Republicans when they need it. I do, and I will. I'll continue to do that. So far, I am pretty freaking happy. I am liking where we're headed. And I love the idea that the world watched Colombia fool around and find out. And they found out hard. And we got something done before he even finished the first 9 holes.
Yeah.
That's just epic.
But I'll say, too, like, there was a lot of big promises in the campaign that at first I was like, that's going to be really hard to do. So I'll, you know, just kind of like in a wait and see mode. And, like, I feel like he's knocked out at least, like, 80% of them within the first week.
Yeah.
Like, just like that.
Just started. And at the very least started.
I kind of sat back and I was like, all right, well, let's see, because this is going to be, you know, this is the hard stuff to do. And it's like within a week, almost all of them are done. So it's awesome.
All right, let's take a break right now. We'll take that first break of the day. Well, first break of this hour anyway. And we'll come right back and jump on into Dipper number one, the confirmations. Where are we? Where are we going? What's happening this week? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're in Dipper number one here, the confirmations. All right, so what's happening and why is this important? Because these are the people, these are the individual leaders who will actually help carry the Trump-Vance agenda forward. All right, so as we talk about making America great again, it's these individual stakeholders that guide the departments that are going to help it make it happen from the federal level. And a lot of this, listen, think back to how feckless did Mayorkas seem all the time at Department of Homeland Security? How awful was Merrick Garland prosecuting grannies who prayed in front of, abortion clinics and doing things that just seemed to be contrary to what was needed? And then where was Lloyd Austin with any, you know, sense of accountability after the debacle in Afghanistan? So you look at what we've dealt with for the last few years and you think, oh, there's nowhere to go but up, but you still want to go up to the right place. So far, I got no complaints. So just so you know, this past weekend, Pete Hegseth was confirmed on Friday night, actually. Friday night, somewhere around 9 o'clock or something like that. They finished out the votes. It was real late. And by the way, Hegseth, super close vote, as close as you can get. In fact, it had to have a tiebreaker from J.D. Vance. So, yeah, in the Senate, which is the confirmation body, in the Senate, if there's a tie, the Vice President of the United States is allowed to cast tie-breaking votes. Do the same thing in our state legislature. I saw it happen one time at least, maybe once or twice, on the floor of the state Senate, and Kay Ivey was sitting in the chair at the time. So, yeah, J.D. Vance is the one who came in and made sure that we have Secretary Pete Hegseth and not just Pete who tried. And I will tell you this. I don't know if you saw, JP, did you see his I know you were hanging with the guys doing sports stuff all weekend. You had your own show that morning.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so it was Friday night. I was able to see all that.
But you didn't see Hegseth's acceptance speech the next morning when he got sworn in,
did you? I saw clips. I haven't seen the whole thing, no.
There's some great one-liners. Now, first of all, what I loved was he stood up and the very first thing he did was give all credit and glory to God. And it did not come across as trite. Like, he emphasized it, paused on it, and then he looked over at his wife and he said, I have said many times, his wife's name is Jenny, I've said many times, it's Jesus and Jenny are the two reasons why I'm standing here right now. Has he had problems in his past? Apparently so, but he appears to be able to say he's a changed man. He's not a guy who denies his past, he's a guy who says, I'm changed. And I like that. I like that humility. But I also like the fact, though, that he turned right around and he made a joke about the fact that his vote was so close. He looked over at J.D. Vance and he goes, because, you know, Vance was in the Marines. He looked at J.D. Vance and goes, and once again, the word will be that it was a junior enlisted Marine who rescued an Army officer.
That's funny.
And then he said his kids who were there watching the confirmation vote ran up to him afterwards and said, Dad, you won in overtime.
That's funny. But and you're probably going to mention this. The only reason it had to be Ty Birken was because Mitch McConnell decided to vote no.
Mitch McConnell. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
Former majority leader of the Senate who knows how important this is, who had no other reason to do it except that, well, I just, you know, I'm concerned about whether Pete has the ability to handle the job. You know what? Do you have any ability to, or do you have any reason to believe that Donald Trump is not going to fire him if he didn't?
Yeah.
I mean, the man lives for firing people.
When you start taking the R's away from these senators' names, you know, Murkowski and I can't remember the other.
Collins.
Like, you know, Collins. Yeah, like, I thought some of Murkowski voted like 70% along with Obama when she was in, when he was in office. It's like, well, how is she? She's not a Republican. She's a Democrat in disguise.
Murkowski on the Supreme Court votes, she voted against Brett Kavanaugh, and she voted for Ketanji Brown Jackson. What the heck? Anyway, Hegseth made it. He's in. So Hegseth is in, and that's wonderful. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. And the first thing he did was come out and say, ain't no mo DEI. I mean, he labeled it. He even sent out a tweet with a handwritten note from him that says, the Pentagon will comply immediately. No exceptions, no name changes or delays. Those who do not comply will not work here any longer. You got to love that. I got to take a call real quick for the break. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, man, how are you?
Phil, and great show, absolutely great show. I'm celebrating in my heart and in my spirit with confirmation of Pete Hegseth. Everything that's gone wrong and downhill with the military leadership in the last several years.
Yeah.
Like, here's an opportunity to turn it all around. Did you get to watch any of the gentle lady from Hawaii and also Debbie Wasserman Schultz and their stage rotten phony interrogation of Pete Hegseth?
I did see some of Maisie Hirono's. I did not see Wasserman Schultz, although I imagine it was classic.
Yeah, or maybe Wasserman Schultz was questioning one of the other nominees. But I mean, I was embarrassed for their family, their kids. It was cringeworthy, ridiculous. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was reading off of the script instead of zero extemporaneous speech. Somebody wrote something that she was supposed to keep screaming at him and not allow him to answer. And of course, the lady from Hawaii, I mean, she's off her rocker. I mean,
yeah, she ain't right.
Vulgar questions that she's asking everybody. It's crazy.
Yeah, she ain't right. I mean, she hasn't been right for a long time. She's so past her prime. No one even knows why she's still there, to be honest.
Well, it's Hawaii. I live there, and it's, believe it or not, it's a more liberal state than California ever hopes to be. It's kind of crazy out there.
yeah, no doubt. Hey, man, music's playing. I got to run to a break. Sparky, I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you. Bye.
See you. Bye. All right, that's hour number one. Where'd hour number one go? Good Lord. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. So I'm in Dipper number one here. I'm talking about the confirmations, and we were talking about Pete Hegseth a minute ago. You told me something that I hadn't seen yet, but I'm loving the sound of it. So Hegseth, brand spanking new Secretary of Defense, who, by the way, was a Army officer in recent times. Like, he just resigned his commission and or retired, I think, and put his papers in back in like 2017. Same year I did, as a matter of fact. I think he got out as a major of the National Guard. But what did he say today?
So he was going into the Pentagon and he was talking to the press. It was like a 3-minute video. And during that video, he talked about how there's going to be executive actions today and this week to get woke and DEI out of the military.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, that this is for the troops and for, you know, every American soldier. And then he stops and I love that he stopped and took a point to look at all the press when he said this. He goes, and including all the people at Fort Bragg and Fort Benning, and, you know, and so alluding to that, you know, their names will be coming back.
Yeah. So the whole like wokeness CRT. Oh, my gosh. We can't have anything that may be tied to something that was Confederate 150 years ago. Renamed the legacy bases of Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty and Fort Benning to Fort Moore. Now, I'll be honest with you, Fort Moore, first of all, I spent a lot of time at Benning. It's always Benning in my mind, it just feels wrong not calling it Benning. I mean, as much time between the infantry officer course, the battalion commander's course, the ranger school, Jumpmaster, Pathfinder, Airborne, all these schools. I mean, I was in and out of Benning for years, and now it's not called Benning. So it's weird. But it was named after Lieutenant General Hal Moore, who was a hero. He's one of my personal heroes, so I can live with it. But Fort Liberty?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a grade school. You know, like, okay, children, we're going to have a contest who comes up with the best name to rename Fort Bragg,
yeah.
And it's Liberty.
So I bet within the week. At least, I don't know if it'll be executive order or whatever, but I think that process will get started soon.
I think the one thing that I'm wondering is going to slow them down on that is the fact that I believe that Congress enacted the law that created the naming commission, and I don't know if the executive orders can change mm-hmm. what a congressionally appointed committee chose to name. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All right. The other thing that just happened, by the way, that I thought was this funny is aside from getting rid of DEI and in you know sort of bowing up, if you will, in terms of what he's expecting his agency heads to do, and departments in the Pentagon, it was real clear that DEI is out. And then we had a little incident. A little incident took place at the Air Force Academy, where all of a sudden liberals were like leaping on it. They've taken down the history of the Tuskegee Airmen. This is what taking down DEI does. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It was absolutely a manufactured crisis. You know why? Because somewhere, somebody was being passive aggressive. Because we'll show him. We'll take down the Tuskegee Airmen. Do we know who did that yet, by the way?
I don't, but yeah, malicious compliance is...
Malicious compliance.
That's been the term. I never even heard of that until today.
I have not either.
But yeah, it's basically just what you described, being petty and complying in a passive aggressive manner. Yeah.
Malicious compliance. I don't know why, but I like that phrase. Anyway, malicious compliance. Okay, there you have it. Passive aggressive. There you have it. Snarky, I'm losing, so I'm going to make you feel pain while I do. There you have it. They took down the Tuskegee Airmen. Alabama Senator Katie Britt tweeted out about it and tagged Pete Hegseth in the and he immediately responded back, I will look into this right away or something like that. Mm-hmm. And dang, if that manufactured crisis didn't go away within about 12 hours.
Yeah, literally, like within 12 hours or so.
I mean, we're moving at the speed of light right now. They didn't have to name a study commission. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to go ahead and have hearings. They just said, by God, fix it. And it got fixed.
So the malicious compliance didn't even last a full 24 hours.
No doubt. Hey, the other one that got confirmed this weekend was Kristi Noem. So if you're not familiar, the Democrats are trying to slow roll things. And so the Republicans have told them, all right, we're just going to stay. We're not going home. Just stay for the weekend. We're going to stay on the floor. And we're going to keep going until you guys get out of the way. Well, Kristi Noem just passed with seven Democrats voting for her. John Fetterman, Tim Kaine, Andy Kim, Kerry Peters, Jean Shaheen, Maggie Hassan, and Alyssa Slotkin. All right, so those seven Democrats joined all of the Republicans, and by a 59-34 vote, Kristi Noem became the new Department of Homeland Security Secretary. Something weird happened. I don't know the story on this, and I'm not sure if it was anything, some evil intent or not, but she did not get what I would call a good swearing-in ceremony. You know, like Hegseth had the vice president there. They had a small gathering, had his family there. Something about she had three attempts to do a swearing-in ceremony, all of which kept getting canceled because of so-called scheduling conflicts. I don't know what that means. She finally went over to Justice Clarence Thomas's house and was sworn in his living room. But she's in.
Yeah. I think I think Hegseth was just a bigger, you know, I got a lot more headlines, I would say, than that. But she still deserves her, you know, proper.
She's still replacing Mayorkas, man.
That's true.
I mean, like, she's a hero just for that alone. Mm-hmm. Build a statue in her honor just because she replaced Mayorkas. So nowhere to go but up. Anyway, she got the backing of people on both sides of the aisle. Keep in mind, she's not just the immigration person, right? Her department has already been very active. Tom Homan is out there getting some stuff done, which we'll talk about in more detail in a minute. But she's not just limited to immigration. Keep in mind, Department of Homeland Security, she's going to have the Transportation Security, the TSA, the Coast Guard, DHS's Office of Intelligence, Secret Service, which has been kind of having a rough time of late with two attempts on Trump's life, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. She's got some big doings under her thumb, if you will. And so good on her, blessings on her. She's got work to do. Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, here's the update on that. Right now, you've got Senate Judiciary meeting got canceled on Wednesday after Democrat minority office placed a hold on Bondi's confirmation. So they can do procedural things. It's kind of like filibusters. It's like you have to get past, and if they're allowed to place a hold, they're doing it right now. With Bondi, what are they worried about? With Bondi, they claim they're worried about lawfare and the idea that Trump's going to target all of his enemies and we can't have Bondi in there. Do they not think there's an acting AG right now? Do they not think there's somebody else in the office who might, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Lodge something if they needed to right now? I mean, my gosh, it's not like the Attorney General's office went away while we waited on Bondi. But Democrats have been challenging Bondi ever since she got nominated back in November. And they're questioning her potential conflicts of interest from her lobbying career. Have they looked at where some of the previous appointments under, like, I don't know, Obama and even Biden came from? I mean, they hauled them right out of lobbying world. They hauled them out of corporate America. You had half of BlackRock working in the Biden administration. But, you know, well, Pam Bondi, we got to check this out. I mean, we're going to slow roll this. I mean, this is very important. She's one of the most, in my opinion, one of the nominees that is the least controversial. Look at her record. It screams, make me attorney general. I mean, she had all those years as a prosecutor. She was the attorney general for the state of Florida for, I think, two terms. Then she went off into corporate world. Then she was on Trump's legal team. And now she's soon to be the attorney general. Just back off, fellas. You don't have the votes to stop it. It's going to happen. But right now they're saying that if things proceed the way they are, the quickest that Republicans can get past the procedural hurdles that Democrats are throwing out there is by the middle of next week. So like February 3rd-ish. I mean, 5th-ish. What else we got? Okay, this week, by the way, you may be curious. Where's Tulsi Gabbard? Where's RFK? Where's Kash Patel? I got it, man. Listen, Fox News and what's my other source here? Politico. Politico. Did you go to Politico, Phil? I did. Kash Patel is up for his first confirmation hearing before Senate Judiciary, I think. No, the Department of Defense and National Security Council. We'll be hearing Kash Patel on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday. And then you got Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. coming up on Wednesday. And it's going to be a hoot, man. These are the controversial ones. These are the ones, first of all, that make Dems mad because two of them are former Democrats.
Yeah.
And they're ticked about that.
Yeah. That I think these, I mean, except what I put up there too, but I think these three are going to be among the most contested.
I think Kash Patel especially. What
yes.
do you think?
Yeah. They're going to go after him saying how he has a, oh, you have a list of people you're going to go after. You're just going to, you know, attack political opponents your whole time. And of course, RFK is going to get the whole vaccine denier treatment.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. He already is.
Yeah. Tulsi being a Russian asset. Yeah. I can already tell you what they're all going to go after immediately.
And Tulsi, they don't like it too because she's not a war hawk. Mm-hmm. She's got street cred. She's deployed to the war zone before as a JAG officer or a civil affairs officer. I'm not sure. Either way, though, she's deployed before. She's got. By the way, do you know that Tulsi Gabbard went through OCS to be an officer right here in Northeast Alabama?
I feel like I heard that before. Yeah.
I may have told
I think
you.
She had Alabama ties. Yeah.
Yeah.
RFK also apparently lived in Montgomery for quite a while too.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
In Montgomery?
Yeah.
For what?
I'm not sure. It was something, because he used to be like environmental lawyer or something like
no
that.
Kidding.
But yeah, he was in Montgomery for a little bit too.
Wow. All right. Listen, a lot of things happening. The nominees, we're going to have, I think the majority of the hearings will be done by the end of this week. The majority of the votes have still got a couple of weeks left of work to do. But at this point, unless something untoward happens, unless somebody pulls out pictures of somebody that they had in a drawer somewhere, we're going to see the Trump team in place by mid-February, I would say. That's what it looks like.
Or if there are any more Mitch McConnells that want to jump boat and make things interesting when they shouldn't be. Like if all we have the majority. So it's like it's almost like if every Republican just got on board, it would be easy. But nope, can't do that, apparently.
Every Republican pretty much is on board, except for the usual suspects.
Yeah.
The ones who you wonder, are they really Republican?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell because I look at your vote record and I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. All right. We're taking a break. Take a break right now. We'll come right back. We're going to switch gears. We're going to jump on into the deportation machinations. Y'all, Tom Homan has been a busy man. I'm not sure he slept in a week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. I got to jump into the next dipper here momentarily, but let me just do this. I see I got a call already from Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm north of Nashville, so I'm doing real
wow.
well
Wow. What the heck, man?
Yeah.
It's not even, we're halfway through the show and you're already north of the quagmire.
Traffic wasn't bad, is all I can say.
Well, hallelujah. It must be a meatloaf Monday everywhere.
Well, no, but I ran out of pickled eggs, and with the price of eggs right now, I might need to start a GoFundMe so I can get some of them boogers back.
Hey, this might be the best thing for your health, brother. I mean, just listen, you don't need all them pickled eggs. Come on.
Yeah, I can no longer afford my pickled eggs. I don't know.
Eggs were never meant to be pickled. That's what I know.
I just hope they don't have a fish shortage. I will be in trouble.
What do you think about all the confirmations so far?
I think it's wonderful. But have you heard what happened today, though, in the military? You should be pleased.
Tell me.
They banned transgenders from the military.
I heard that there was a executive order pending. Did it already happen?
As far as I know, it's already. I mean, I don't know if they're going to kick the ones that's in there out. They've got about, I think, upwards of around 1,500 of total. But so apparently we're going to not have to sit there and pay for all these people who just want to go to the military to get their trans surgery done at the expense of our people and have to take care of them for the rest of their lives and stuff for non-deployable people.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. So Fox has got a story saying he's expected to sign such an order today. I don't see where he signed it yet. JP, have you seen where he signed it yet? I think it's pending right now, brother, but he is planning on doing that apparently.
Yeah, and not none too soon. I mean, it's It's like, well, let's get the schizophrenics in the military, you know. why don't we invite those people in too? I mean, these people have a mental illness,
yeah.
and we're acting like they're, you know, it's a real thing, you know. So
yeah, and not only that, the reality is their very lifestyle makes them non-deployable. I mean, there's you can't, you, why are you in the military if you can't deploy to a war zone when needed?
Yeah, I mean they. I don't. How would they bunk together? Wouldn't that be fun? you got the birthing person pregnant, you know, and everything.
The birthing person.
That's what they call them nowadays, you know, Phil.
Yes, that's what I've heard. I've heard that. It's a very trendy. It's a very trendy title, birthing person. That's okay. I'm a non-birthing person, just so you know.
There you go.
There you go. All right, man. Be safe on the road. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Phil.
Say bye. All right, I'm going to jump in here for a minute. I'm going to kick off this next dipper and work through it over the next half hour. I got a guest coming in at the top of the hour, so I want to get done before he calls in. But the deportation machinations, by the way, it's like every day. It's like it's Christmas. So, and the things that keep happening, the left is looking for reasons to melt down. Like, first of all, I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I did not know we even had a Spanish language version of the White House website. Did you know that, JP?
No.
I guess we've never needed it. But, people went to the Spanish language version of the White House website to find that it had been taken offline over the weekend, just gone with one of those 404 errors.
Yeah.
And it has like the image of the White House. It says 404 across the top and it says page not found and a button below that said go home. And they immediately thought, this is a passive aggressive. You're telling people to speak Spanish to go home.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, by the way, I didn't realize Trump had even – Trump took down the Spanish language version of the White House website in his first term, too. And I get it. I mean, what? Anyway. But the redirect – but all it was a redirect button that would send people back to the home page, but it said go home. And I saw a screenshot of it, and it was – I mean, it was like the Babylon Bee had done this, you know. Anyway, the bottom line is they got it fixed. Everybody can calm down now. Now it says go to homepage.
I hope they're happy.
But the Spanish language site is gone, and they left it up with a go home button. By the way, you'll also be glad to know as we talk about the deportations machinations, the things that are happening to secure our southern border, Breitbart reports that U.S. Customs and Border Protection is now installing new wall panels along the Mexico-New Mexico border. They're digging in, man. They are literally putting up the barriers. They are literally putting up the wall. It's only been in office for 7 days. I got more on this and what's been happening with the raids around the nation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. All right, I'm going to jump in here for a minute. I'm going to kick off this next dipper and work through it over the next half hour. I got a guest coming in at the top of the hour, so I want to get done before he calls in. But the deportation machinations, by the way, it's like every day. It's like it's almost... It's like it's Christmas. So, and the things that keep happening, the left is looking for reasons to melt down. Like, first of all, I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I did not know we even had a Spanish language version of the White House website. Did you know that, JP?
No.
I guess we've never needed it. People went to the Spanish language version of the White House website to find that it had been taken offline over the weekend. Just gone. With one of those 404 errors.
Yeah.
And it has like the image of the White House. It says 404 across the top and it says page not found and a button below that said go home. And they immediately thought, this is a passive aggressive. You're telling people to speak Spanish to go home.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, by the way, I didn't realize Trump had even, Trump took down the Spanish language version of the White House website in his first term too. And I get it. I mean, what? Anyway. But all it was a redirect button that would send people back to the home page, but it said go home. And I saw a screenshot of it and it was, I mean, it was like the Babylon Bee had done this, you know. Anyway, the bottom line is they got it fixed. Everybody can calm down now. Now it says go to home page.
I hope they're happy.
But the Spanish language site is gone. And they left it up with a go home button. By the way, you'll also be glad to know as we talk about the deportations machinations, the things that are happening to secure our southern border, Breitbart reports that U.S. Customs and Border Protection is now installing new wall panels along the Mexico-New Mexico border. They're digging in, man. They are literally putting up the barriers. They are literally putting up the wall. It's only been in office for 7 days. I got more on this and what's been happening with the raids around the nation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, by the way, in case you did not know, Right Side Media is the parent company of Right Side Radio. So if you're listening to us right now, we are just one production right now of a larger company. There's a lot of stuff we got. I'd encourage y'all to check it out. We've got Right Side Media being the parent company that holds Right Side Radio. We've got the Liberty Minute podcast with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. We got my other podcast called The Right Philosophy. We got Emily Jones, the Controversial Mom podcast. We got Birdman, the Right Click podcast about tech and high-end gaming. And there's more coming. We got some stuff in the works right now I'm pretty excited about. But we also have a lot of written stuff. I mean, so it's a full-service media conservative content company. Check it out. I want to ask you to check it out at rightsidemedia.org. And then you can stream us, you know, online. Like Charlene, my lovely wife, she listens to the show more often than not on her phone. You can stream us online. A bunch of y'all already streaming right now through X, either at my account, at Sin Phil Williams, or at Right Side Media's account. You can also find us on YouTube. You can find us on, Rumble, on Twitch, on our website.
Our website, and hopefully soon in the works, Facebook Live as well.
Yeah. So all the things. Listen, just go. And by the way, do us this if you don't mind. We're a growing company, and every one of those platforms that we're on, they actually have like levels you have to reach for that allow you to do the next things. If you go to one of those platforms and you're listening to the show or watching a podcast or whatever, if you wouldn't mind, please hitting subscribe or follow or like or whatever the case may be on that particular platform. It actually helps us a lot as a company, and it would mean the world to us to do that. You guys put us over the top on YouTube, and we hit over 1,000, and now we're pushing 1,200. But the more of y'all that do it, the more we're allowed to do by those platform owners. So anyway, there's all that. Right Side Media, rightsidemedia.org. That's all our stuff. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, deportation machinations. So you may be curious to know what's going on around the nation. Have you heard about Chicago? Well, I thought they were a sanctuary city. So freaking what? That's where we are. So yeah, so Tom Homan's out and about and busy. And like last week, I don't know if you remember this or not, but last week, I think it was Tuesday, day two of the Trump administration, Wall Street Journal got a hold of a report that there were planned Trump administration raids in Chicago, and they leaked the details. And Homan didn't even care. He's like, whatever, we're coming. And they went and did what they had to do. So they had a multi-agency immigration enforcement operation in Chicago. They went in and they began arresting. I want to say they had over 50 arrests in Chicago alone. They've made almost 1,000 arrests of illegal immigrant criminals across the United States just in the first week. Now, here's the thing, and I said this in my podcast. I did my podcast over the weekend. Production will have it finished and up and ready by Wednesday, but I talked about this at length. Think about this. For them to be able to do the raids that quickly means they already had a file on these people. They knew where they were. They had just not been allowed to go get them. That's amazing. We're talking about people with violent histories. We're talking about criminals. We're talking about people who came here with criminal records. We're talking about people who have done things since they've been here that are criminal. We're talking about drug abusers and drug peddlers and drug smugglers and human trafficking and in violent crimes like, you know, rape and assault and all of it. And these guys have been walking around like scot-free. Meanwhile, ICE and the other enforcement agencies knew where they were and weren't allowed to do anything until, just like that, Trump gets elected and the raids started. Bam. Whole new day. So, yeah, they went to Chicago. And I don't know if you heard about the controversy, but all of a sudden it was like, Trump's raiding elementary schools and scaring children. And no, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. I believe it was a junior high school, if I'm not mistaken. That was not an immigration raid. That was the Secret Service responding to a student who posted threats against the White House. Meanwhile, J.B. Pritzker, the uber-liberal governor of Illinois, was calling out the Trump administration and then had to recant. You gotta love it. Story here on townhall.com. Mass deportation raids have begun in Los Angeles. But I thought they were a sanctuary city. They are. And we don't care. So, yeah, Trump is using the law, 287G, I believe it is. The 287G arrangement that allows him to get willing state and local law enforcement officials to carry out federal, it basically deputizes them under federal law. And they've been doing it. And so right now, the urban enclave of Los Angeles, ICE agents and federal law enforcement officers in conjunction with local law enforcement swooped in and began getting people up, rousting them out of their beds, taking them out of their homes, saying, you know what, I'm sorry, but by Friday they had arrested 593 criminals, by the way, another 449 detainer requests. It's a whole new day. Like, wow.
It's funny, like, mainstream media is acting surprised as if
yeah.
they weren't expecting this to come.
I didn't think you'd really do it.
I can't believe I'm forgetting this lady's name, but she did an interview with Tom Homan, and she was like, are there going to be deportations like this every day? And he's just like, yes.
Yes.
Like, wait, so every single day there's going to be deportations? Yes.
Yes, there will be.
It's like almost like he said that the whole campaign.
Like, did you... So basically, it goes back to my monologue for the day. I say what I say.
Yeah.
This is what part surprised you?
Yeah.
What else we got here? DEA. Oh, Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua, por favor, por qué? So DEA busts dozens of illegal aliens, Tren de Aragua members in Colorado raid. So, yeah, this is Aurora, Colorado, where they were taking over whole apartment complexes. Federal agents arrested dozens of Tren de Aragua members in an overnight raid in Aurora, Colorado. The DEA busted close to 50 members of the notorious Venezuelan gang at a makeshift nightclub in Aurora, a well-documented hub of Tren de Aragua activity. This is nothing but good stuff, man. Did you see the thing with Dr. Phil going out with Tom Homan?
I did. It was pretty. It's pretty cool. I like that duo. Yeah.
Yeah. They arrested one sex offender. Who preys on small children from Thailand, who's been deported before.
I think I saw that clip you were talking about, yes.
Yeah.
And he actually knew who Dr. Phil was.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I think
you're,
I'm...
You're Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Why do you know me? I've seen you. The interesting thing is, what we're seeing is this is causing what I would call a second and third order effects. It's not just what's happening with the roundups. It's not just what's happening with law enforcement being allowed to do their jobs. We're also now seeing that it's rippling through the illegal migrant community. Like a story here from Wokespy, Dateline yesterday. It says, oh, what a difference a week makes. President Donald Trump signed a flurry of executive orders laying waste to gender ideology, restoring girls' rights to male-free sports and all of it. And the man campaigned on stopping illegal border jumpers. And then he says, major media, sort of what you said a moment ago, are signaling shock and horror at the very idea of deporting illegals. But what we're also seeing is, in Mexico, migrants are now advising each other not to try and cross the border. Oh, pray tell, why would this be? I don't know. Maybe because they realize there's a new sheriff in town. Yeah, Libs of TikTok brought us a clip. The illegals themselves know what time it is. One guy quoted saying, I don't recommend to cross, as he sadly walks himself back into Mexico. That's nothing but goodness.
I can just picture that. Like tail between his legs, you know, slouching. I wouldn't do it.
And listen, right now, what they're rounding up, these are the criminals.
Yes.
These are the actual criminals who are here, not just illegally. They're here committing crimes while they're here. And this has got to get shut down. He also, by the way, has immediately restored the catch and return policies. Not catch and release, catch and return. I'll give you more of this when we get back from the break, but here's the end result. What we're seeing is self-deportations are suddenly on the rise. migrant caravans on the south side of the border are stopping. The number of people crossing the border is down exponentially. ICE raids are happening around the nation. I've got stories here with, I've got New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Aurora, Colorado, and Denver, Los Angeles, and more. They're everywhere. And they're doing this, and then they're even starting the deportations. The flights have already begun. They're loading them on planes and taking them out of here. And the press doesn't know what to do with this, and I don't know why they're surprised. That's what gets me, is I don't know why they're surprised. How can he, I don't know how he, is he really going to, did he do that? He did. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Like he was going to go, you know, it was a campaign promise, but that's just politics. No, this is legit, y'all. This is called making a difference. This is called keeping your promise. This is called securing the borders. And we're seeing it right now. Since every border, every state's a border state, we're seeing these raids everywhere. Watch for them in your backyard. They'll be coming to a town near you. Just stand by. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll do the break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll get caught up on some text messages because a bunch of y'all's texting in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, by the way, don't forget, the rightsidemedia.org website has all our stuff on it. And I will let you know that we are very close to opening up the new merchandise store. Ha ha! I mean, we got shirts, we got hats, we got coffee mugs, and we even have bulletproof influence highball glasses, which may be my favorite thing.
They're pretty awesome.
They're pretty awesome. I mean, so I like to say on the show that Right Side Media has bulletproof influence. And so I came across a company called Benshot. And Benshot makes glasses in which a bullet is embedded in the glasses if you got shot but did not go through, meaning it's bulletproof. It's Benshot, and it's bulletproof. And they now have the engraved Right Side Media logo on them, and they will all be on the Right Side merchandise website very soon. I got a bunch of text messages. Let me clean up on some of those. Brian S. from Huntsville says, Sec Def Hegseth has an awesome ring to it. I do like that. Sec Def Hegseth. That's pretty cool. Like it was meant to be. Scott from Russellville says, who on earth made Mitch McConnell is qualified for the position he's been in for entirely too long? I'm not sure. That's a bad sentence. I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but I get it.
I say, who thinks Mitch McConnell should, you know, still be.
Oh, who on earth thinks Mitch McConnell is qualified? Okay. Anyway, yeah. The bottom line is Mitch needs to go. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
And he is going, which is why. Why are you being a nuisance now? You know, he's just doing it for his own, you know, amusement, I guess. I don't know, but
he's got principles.
Yeah.
This is about principles. Thomas Mathen says, one Republican senator voted against Hegseth, Mitch McConnell. Yes, we did. Who is not running again, so he cannot claim he's serving the people of West Virginia. Kentucky is where he's from. He must be quid pro quoing with some lobbyists or his wife doing it. Anyway, I get it. It's all speculation, Thomas, but the reality is this. It was a bad vote. There's no sense in it. It was not going to accomplish anything, and all he did was jimmy up the works and try to defeat a Republican agenda. And that would have been his legacy, too, by the way, had he done that. Gary from Decatur says, unfortunately, Pete Hegseth has had to amend the DEI edict already at the request of Alabama Senator Katie Britt for issues with Tuskegee Airmen. It was No, that's not an amending.
No, it's not DEI.
Yeah, that's AL.com. Listen, let me just go ahead and clarify for you, Gary from Decatur. Please understand, AL.com is an absolute liberal rag that will do everything it can to try and make the state of Alabama look bad because that's how they consider news to be done. The truth of the matter is this. Senator Britt did not get him to amend DEI, that there was someone who at, where was it, Air Force Academy?
So, I don't know if it was the Academy or basic training. Like, they wouldn't teach it in basic training, either or. Yeah,
yeah, either or, you're right. The bottom line is, they took it down and they knew exactly what they're doing, and that was never the intent. So he fixed it. So he said, put it back up, and they did.
It was Democrats trying to make Republicans
look racist.
Would you call
it malicious compliance?
Malicious compliance.
Malicious compliance.
So it did not, like, it didn't fall under the DEI. It's history, you know? So
this is nuts. David from Bucky's says, our son was born at Fort Rucker. His birth certificate says Fort Rucker. It'll always be Fort Rucker to us. Yes, indeed, sir. Yes, indeed. Fort Rucker, Fort Bragg, Fort Stewart, Fort Gordon, Fort Hood, Fort, what did I say, Fort Bragg, Fort Benning.
My aunt was Fort born Lee. My aunt was born at Fort Benning. She still calls it Fort Benning to this day.
It's Fort Benning, man. It's Fort Benning. In fact, I've got my Ranger diploma on the shelf in a frame. It says Fort Benning. Paul from Decatur. So, hey, Colonel, Paul in Decatur, I have the same feelings about Fort Benning. Too many schools there, but I like Colonel Moore, and now we have a Colonel Ola Lee Mize Medal of Honor recipient. Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. And Colonel Ola Lee Mize was one of my personal heroes. I hope you heard my story about him. It's in one of my monologues that I just did recently. David from Madison says, I'm truly appreciative Hegseth became the SecDef, but I'm not sure I agree with changing the names of the Army installations back to their original names. That goes against the whole DOGE mission and purpose. It took millions of dollars to change the names to begin with. Now we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars more to change them back. Don't pass them. Doesn't pass the make sense test. Okay, that's fair. I guess they could do it a cost assessment. Here's the thing I think they ought to do, though, David. I think they ought to turn it over to the local communities. How does the state of Georgia feel about it being called Benning? What do they want to do? How does the state of North Carolina feel about it called Liberty? You know, if they want their state to have the post name back, put it back. How does Texas feel about Fort Cavazos as opposed to Fort Hood? It's a whole lot easier to spell, I can tell you that. But the reality is, maybe get the local buy-in as well.
And they can't change it after they do that either. So, you know.
Point. Victor from Huntsville says, Phil, Fort Liberty, a fictitious place in the TV show F Troop. Oh, was it really? I did not know that. And if that's the case, that is awesome and all the more reason to change it. John from Minor Hill, Tennessee, says, Norm taking Mayorkas' place. Noam. Noam taking Mayorkas' place. She has some tough footy pajamas to fill. Can't see her having any problems there. I'm not sure how to take that text, but thank you, John. David from Huntsville says, recess appointments possible. Yeah, so there's a thing. If the Democrats continue to hold this up, we're not there yet, but the Senate will eventually adjourn and allow Trump to do a recess appointment. Recess appointment means if they are out of session, then he can make appointments for up to 2 years in what's called a recess appointment, meaning you weren't here, so I had to fill the bill without you. It's not the chosen way of doing things, but it's a way of doing things. And it was set up so that back in the times of our founders, when everyone went home to their farms and stuff, you could still get things done. In this case, I don't know that they'll do it that way or not. The Senate's already signaled they don't want to do it that way. They want to be a part of the process, and I get it. But if Democrats are going to hold things up, then at some point they'll have to. The thing that we weren't able to see done before was that the majority in the Senate used to be Democrat. And we couldn't get anything done because they would not go into full recess. They would go into a temporary, and they would adjourn at the call of the chair, meaning they left somebody behind at all times so they could pretend they were actually in session and block the recess appointments. Last two, and then we'll go to a break. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, who runs the department while confirming hearings are going on? Talking about the SecDef, I believe. If you're running, you have an acting head in each one of those departments right now. Most of them are people who are seasoned. They have been there a long time. Some of them were appointed by Trump to be actings. He picked among the ranks and picked the one he wanted. Bruce from Springville says, two good types of places to raid are hospital ERs and Chinese restaurants. And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL and host of the Liberty Minute podcast, is going to be on talking about some recent efforts in human trafficking interdiction. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Hey, listen, I've already covered quite a bit during the show. We talked about in my opening monologue about the things that are going on with, you know, Columbia sort of fooling around and finding out real quick that Trump does mean what he said. We talked about the confirmations and those that are still pending in D.C. and how that's impacting operations and or not because things are already happening. And then we just spent some time talking about what I call the deportation machinations and the fact that we've got roundups going on all over the nation right now. ICE is actually hard at work. Tom Homan is digging in deep as the borders are. Let me switch gears now and bring it close to home. In fact, I will say this. It's closer to home than I would ever want. Because the next dipper I've got, I just call this Save Our Kids. And there's a guy who's a sort of, you know, become part of the Right Side family. Jared Hudson is a former Navy SEAL who is the CEO of the Shooting Institute and also of Covenant Rescue Group. And Covenant Rescue Group is out there in the weeds, y'all, in the weeds, training law enforcement and participating in the interdiction of human trafficking and child sex predator stings. And we've had some recent stuff. I mean, like as recently as last week in Huntsville. And I thought, you know what? It's time. I want to hear more about what's going on, especially in light of the fact that ICE is out there rounding people up. They're finding illegals in these sex sting roundups too. So let me bring him in. Jared Hudson, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, brother? Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. And by the way, I meant to say a moment ago, you're also the host of one of our podcasts, The Liberty Minute, doing great work there.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You know, and I said it in the last, you know, recording we did, some guy came up to me at like a fundraiser we're doing for Covenant Rescue Group. He said, "Hey man, I hear you on the Liberty Minute with Right Side Radio on the podcast." "Oh yeah," he said, "but you talk for like 15 minutes. So why is it the Liberty Minute when you talk for 15 minutes?" I thought it was pretty funny. I put it on you though, Phil. I said, "Ah, Phil made me call it the Liberty Minute, you know, and
yeah,
it made me talk for 15."
So you know, it's my way. I was an officer, so I always wanted more stuff, right?
That's right.
Well, listen, man, you guys, I saw an article in 1819 News. There was a big sting operation in Huntsville. And once again, Covenant Rescue Group listed in the thing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so long story short, we did our normal sex trafficking operations program. We did our 40-hour training for Huntsville and about, I think about 10 or 15 other agencies that week. And they were from all over the nation. Huntsville hosted it, and then when we were done with that training, we set up and advised them on a two-day operation where they were able to chat individuals in.
Yeah, and so when y'all do that, the perps actually think they're talking to a child, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, that's, first of all, how gross is that? But secondly, you guys got, I think, what, 9 offenders, I think, were scooped up in that one two-day op. Is that right?
Yeah, there was actually more than 9 offenders, but there's a couple that have a few things pending that I'm not 100% sure why they didn't list those. But, you know, I'll let the agency and the prosecutor's office deal with that effectively. But 9 are what has been listed in the media release.
Well, that's huge. And by the way, again, thank you for the work that you do. I mean, you guys are all over the place, too. I mean, I know you stay busy, you stay gone, because some of these podcasts you're doing for us, you're having to record 2 or 3 at a time just because you're going to be gone on the next operation. Am I right?
Yeah, we're pretty much gone the entire month of February with operations and trainings. Still do training for DOD, still do all that stuff, still do training for a lot of law enforcement agencies across the nation on the firearms and tactics side, and then also on the child exploitation side. We've got trainings and operations scheduled just for CRG till August of this year, of 2025. So,
Look,
full
I got
tilt, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Is there another speed? So let me ask you this: your time in the teams. Did you ever imagine that you would go through BUDS and all the things you did to get on the teams, and then come out and do this stuff with it? I mean, did you see this being a part of your life?
Oh, no, absolutely not. This wasn't even something that, you know, when I was in the teams, it really registered, you know, because we were in the Iraq, Afghanistan, we're in the heat of the war when I checked in and all the way through. I mean, everything I did was combat deployments. But with that being said, you know, my thought was I'd be at development group right now and then I would, you know, probably retire out of development group. But with the direction the Lord took me, that's how it worked out, you know. Worked kind of a medical retirement. Here I am doing this now, working law enforcement and child exploitation.
Well, so when you guys go in and do one of these training sessions, I mean, 40 hours, what do you do for 40 hours? What are you sitting down with right, law enforcement and doing?
Yeah, so we teach them how to successfully target, and I like using that word, target individuals who are showing up to buy or sell kids for sex, in particular the consumer, which is primarily men. We do see females distributing, but primarily looking for the consumer. We teach agencies how to successfully do that, to make a successful probable cause felony arrest based on laws, whatever state laws that state has, whether it's like Alabama human trafficking one, solicitation and travel, or whether it's like the state of Arkansas where they only have solicitation and travel. So we teach the agency how to use their state laws to make successful probable cause felony arrests, and we make sure that we're partnered with the prosecutor's office and the district attorney's office during that time, so that once the arrest is made, the district attorney's office is very familiar with and even has skin in the game on the case,
yeah.
So they can successfully prosecute this case. And the reason is because statistics through DOJ and American Psychiatric Association show that for every man showing up for a little girl, there's 50 victims in his path until he's prosecuted. Not until he's arrested, not until he's found out, but until he's successfully prosecuted. And for every man showing up for a little boy, there's 150 victims
wow.
in their path until they're prosecuted. So we have to hit those two ends of law enforcement, and we train them on how to do that. Successful physical arrest, the apprehension, that is one piece of the law enforcement. And then successful prosecution to the full extent of the law, that's the other piece of law enforcement. So we train them on how to do those things successfully so that we don't have, you know, again, like the Chris Hansen thing. I mean, he's a good dude, but he's not building prosecutable cases for law enforcement. He's doing a show.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want to do. We want to teach law enforcement how to make successful apprehension and prosecution so it's not symbolism without substance.
Well, and that's huge, and I think that, you know, the reality is you get them off the street for 5 minutes, you save a child maybe, but you get them off the streets forever, you save a lot of kids, and that's
right.
where we got to go. So let me ask you this: I noticed in the article about the Huntsville sting, which occurred just last week, I think, that there were several of those that were swept up in that sting operation that were illegal aliens. How often do you see that?
Well, we average on all the operations we've done across the nation, we average about 10 arrests per operation, and about 20% of those are illegal. So now, the average of 10 arrests, you might get 16 in one place, and you might get 6 in another place. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
We just average 10 across the year. So, you know, if we arrest 6 people, one of them might be an illegal immigrant. If we arrest 16, you know, 2 or 3 might be illegal immigrants. I'm not sure where 1819 got their information or if they called the agency and got that, but to my knowledge, they're still waiting on confirmation that some of the ones that were possibly illegal immigrants were actually illegal immigrants. But on average, if you make 10 arrests, 2 of those will be illegal immigrants, you know, from Guatemala, Mexico, you know, somewhere in South America. I mean, these are just common places that we normally see. And they'll be put on an ICE hold and they'll be deported, you know, like you would expect them to be.
Well, I think with, you know, Senator Britt from Alabama, actually, with Senator Britt's Lake and Riley Act getting signed into law, I think you're going to see them deported a whole lot quicker, man.
Man, I hope so, you know, and it's just about finding them and making sure you get them out. Because, I mean, they're still predators, you know. They're not, we're not talking about decent people trying to work. We're talking about people who are showing up trying to buy a 13, 14, 15-year-old child.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, absolutely. Well, listen, man, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left. I've gotten pretty fond of your organization. You guys have an event coming up, and that was not necessarily part of what I wanted to bring you on for, but it is now. I want to go ahead and talk about it. You guys have a thing coming up on February 7th. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, February 7th, we have a dinner. Vulcan Performance is hosting that dinner for us, but you can sign up on our website, covenantrescue.org. Go to the events portion. And you'll see the Night to Remember, and it's going to be myself, you know, wrapping up the speaking with Sheriff Mark Moon, who's going to be speaking, and District Attorney Jennifer Bray. So Moon is Blount County Sheriff. Miss Bray is the Marshall County District Attorney. We've worked with both of them. They're going to be speaking, and then we also have some groups, Trafficking Hope, the Well House are going to have some videos with how we've supported them and how they've supported us in the past, along with maybe a word from a victim from one of the operations that we rescued. We don't always get words from victims because they don't always want to come out and talk about it, but this lady has been willing to share her story and how Covenant Rescue Group and what we do with these types of operations at least brought some semblance of justice in her life. So that's what the night will be about from 6 to 8. And it'll be dinner, $50 a person, you know, be a good date night, cheap date night. and you'll hear about human trafficking and the reality of it as opposed to the Hollywood version of it.
Well, I'm planning on making my plans to be down there. But listen, thank you again for what you do, and I will tell you this, by the way, your Liberty Minute, which is like 15 minutes or more, your Liberty Minute podcast. We had somebody comment on our YouTube page the other day saying, "Tell him to run for sheriff again."
Yeah, well, it's the Lord is going to have to speak to me like he did to Paul on the road to Damascus and tell me to run for sheriff again if I'm going to do that. Too much money and too much hassle for not enough juice. Let's put it that way.
All right, man. Well, listen, stay in the fight. We will see you soon, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
See you. That's Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL. And by the way, he slings out terms that he's used to that maybe y'all weren't, but he said a minute ago that he had intended to go to development group. That's DevGru, SEAL Team 6. So the guy's got skills. The guy's got a background. The guy's got a great resume. The guy's also got a great heart. He loves the Lord. He is no fooling a guy who's out there in the fray right now, deciding to take the hard skills God's given him and use it in such a way to benefit lives. So anyway, I love the fact that he's on the Right Side Media team, and he is the host of our Liberty Minute podcast. You'll be hearing more about him in the near future, I hope. In the meantime, think about that. Go to his website. I'm just going to plug him, man. I love what he does, so I'm just plugging him outright. CovenantRescue.org. You can find out more about him, and you can also go to their dinner if you want to. And by the way, it is significant that you've got a district attorney and a sheriff willing to speak at their event. That tells you what they think about Covenant Rescue and what they're doing. All right, we're taking a break right now. I'll come right back and do more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Like pulling pins on truth grenades. I got a bunch of y'all texting in right now. Glad to have you. I'll get your input here momentarily. Let me say a few things about, yes, that story that I had, talking about, it's just too close to home. I mean, I don't ever want to hear these stories, but I really don't want to hear them in my backyard. I don't. But yeah, this story was 1819 News. The Huntsville Police Department announced the arrest of 9 people in a recent human trafficking sting. Covenant Rescue Group, you just heard Jared Hudson, assisted the department in conducting the 2-day sting. It was January 23rd and 24th. This is last week. Those involved confirmed that some of the suspects were illegal aliens. They basically decoyed them in, let them believe they were talking to young minor females. And you had like one guy drove all the way from Gulfport, Texas. His name is Marco Elias, 31 years old, of Gulfport, Texas, charged with 2 counts of first-degree human trafficking, 2 counts of electronic solicitation of a child, 2 counts of traveling to meet a child for an unlawful sex act. Unbelievable. Had another guy named Floyd Powell of Harvest, right here in the listening area. Another guy named Michael Fike of Somerville. Another guy named Shivan Patel of Muscle Shoals. Another guy named Michael Stevens of Albertville. Am I naming them? Yes, by God, I am. Another guy named Julio Juan of Decatur. Another guy named Gilmar Elias Huenak, 45, of Carthage, Missouri. Good Lord, he drive from Missouri. Elmer Sarmiento of Huntsville. And Brian Inde of Huntsville. And more charges could be added, they said. Madison County District Attorney's Office and Morgan County Sheriff's Office also collaborated in the event. That's in our backyard, y'all. That's 9, but you know what? That's 9 perps off the street. Praise God. But this is happening a lot. This is happening. By the way, I'm thankful, but you heard the unreal stats that Jared just quoted a moment ago, that for every guy who is a perpetrator of small boys, there are, on the average, there have been 150 other victims in the background somewhere before they caught the guy. Gosh. How about this one? This is a story that was just, 60 days ago, the Augusta Chronicle over in Augusta, Georgia. A 3-day event, Grovetown Police Department and Georgia Bureau of Investigation targeted online predators in a group, in a thing they call the Operation Mask Off. They had 1,200 individuals via the internet and cellular apps. 208 of them verified adults expressed a desire to meet for sexual activity with minor children. 208. They had 43 of them that traveled to meet the kids. And of the 43, 12 were indicating they were traveling for prearranged meetings, and they arrested them. I mean, think about that. They're able to go out there and set up the sting, and they immediately get 208 verified adults expressing interest. And then they get 43 of them saying they might just travel there. And then they get 12 of them actually getting in the car and driving there. Grovetown Police Department took them down. Glad of it. Yeah. From Louisville, Georgia. From one was an illegal alien from with an ICE detainer already on him. One was a guy from Texas. It's just, God almighty. How about East Tennessee? This just happened in the Chattanooga region, Hamilton County area, just about 45 days ago. Four people were arrested after a multi-agency operation into sex trafficking in the Hamilton County area, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, Chattanooga Police Department, and Homeland Security. All involved. The suspects were Wilmar Guidez, one count of prostitution. Rebecca Juarez Lucina, one count of prostitution. And then you have more. And they're traveling to meet kids. Y'all, this is just, you know what? It's every day. And I say save our kids. Don't let up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm laughing, by the way. This is a total aside, but I'm watching CNN is having its moment. Trump's expected to sign an executive order to reshape the military. No, he's signing an executive order to make sure that DEI and transgenderism is not a part of our military. And they're like, what's going to happen when he gets rid of diversity? I don't know. We might be a better fighting force. How about that?
Yeah. I don't see any transgenders in the Russian or Chinese militaries. So I would think that the if we put up transgenders against fighting forces like that, we probably would lose.
I'm going to go ahead and affirm you in that.
Thank you for affirming me.
Yeah, I affirm your position. How about that? Real quick, just want to kind of wrap up this section I did on Save Our Kids. Now, it's the human trafficking thing, it boils my blood, to be honest with you. And I've worked with abused kids before. My first gig out of college was working in an adolescent treatment center. Most of those kids had some type of drug addiction and or behavioral disorder. But underlying a lot of that was abuse. And it would every once in a while I would think that I had seen the most that the world could do to a kid, and then the next kid would come in and I go, oh my gosh. I mean, I don't feel the need to burden you with some of the things that I heard of and knew about in these kids' lives. But what I would also see is the environment we provided was you know, safe. It was therapeutic. It was designed to bring restoration. They still had to go home at some point. And some of them went home better than, you know, the way they came, granted. And some of them went into a depression going home because they were going back to the same place where the abuse had occurred. And y'all, I'm just telling you, the idea that there are sick individuals out there who will prey on kids, who will literally get online and find a way to, and they'll do it. They'll talk to your kids. Like, for instance, I know you like Call of Duty. And that's the gaming industry is a backdoor for perpetrators now.
Yeah,
they actually get online where kids are you know logged in and streaming their gaming with other players from other parts of the world. Pretend they're a gamer, and next thing you know, they're leading kids down a path, and they do this constantly. The same thing with social media, sending direct messages. You got to know, parents. You got to know what your kids are watching or are into. You gotta. Know who their teachers are, know who their coaches are, know who their tutors are, know who they're on social media with. In fact, consider the idea that maybe they don't need social media, or at least not near as much as they say. It's kind of interesting. We have grandkids now, and I watch my son and daughter-in-law doing an amazingly good job raising our grandkids. We are so proud, and they call it screen time. I mean, TV for me as a kid was there, but it wasn't like what it is now. And now they actually call it screen time. And they limit our grandkids' opportunities to sit and just veg on any kind of a screen. They can look at photos on the phone and they have to put it away. They can watch their favorite cartoon, but they've got TV time planned and then they turn it off. If they don't have a tablet of their own, they're too young. But still, the reality is, parents, you got to be involved and you got to know where they go, you got who they go with, and be willing to ask the hard questions and check things out and ask for references and do all of it, because it's your kids. But all of these perpetrators that Covenant Rescue Group helps put the stings on, those are perps who are logging in with an expectation because they've done it somewhere else and they know how to reach your kids. They know how to talk to them. Gone are the days when you have to worry about just your child walking home from school by themselves. Now the perps are in your child's bedroom because they have electronic devices they can talk through. And they will not just hack things, they'll pretend that they're a kid and they'll lead a kid into a conversation. And then they'll explore things with the kid. And then they'll want to talk to the kid. And then they'll want to meet the kid. And the sadness of it is that it happens way too often. And we've got to be in the mode of saving our kids at all times, because they're our most precious commodity. I mean, they are the resource of the nation. There is nothing else. There is no resource that we could ever want to put on the market. There is no oil to be pumped from the ground, no gold to be dug. There is no agricultural profits to be made from crops. There is nothing else more important than the kids. They are the future of the country. And we should shepherd them, and steward them the same way we would the greatest treasure that we could possibly put in our bank accounts. And it's a passion project for me. I'm just saying. And groups like Covenant Rescue, thankful for what they do. I'm gonna get with Jared. Me talking to you, JP. I'm gonna get with Jared and go be involved in one of these things. I wanna maybe even consider filming it and talking about it while they're doing it. I think that would be huge for our audience to see that.
And potentially, having longer form interviews with him as well.
That's coming.
Yep,
that's coming. Absolutely. All right, you guys. Listen, I got to catch up on some text messages because you guys are prolific texters. All right, let me get some of these. Who's the first one? I got to scroll way back down the line to get some of the ones that I haven't gotten yet. Marcus from Huntsville. He says, I don't get the outcry for kicking actual criminals out of the country. If illegals are always just undocumented migrants, then robbing a bank is just an undocumented withdrawal. Yeah, but here's what we're doing. I mean, they're prioritizing. This is like triage of a mass casualty event, if you will. The first thing you do is you go down the line, you begin looking for who you can save, and you try to decide what you can treat and what you can't. And so the very first thing they're doing right now is they're triaging the illegal immigration crisis. They're triaging it, and they're saying, all right, we got 11 million or more illegals that are here that we know of that have come in just in the last few years, no telling how many were here before that. And we can't get rid of them all in one day, so let's get rid of the violent ones first. Let's get rid of the ones who are committing more crimes while they're here. We'll get rid of them first, and we'll ship them out. And then we'll turn our attention to what's going on with the rest. So, yeah, I hear you. Jerry from Decatur says, Colombia, the nation of Colombia, ranks first with 32% of the world's market. Fresh flowers are cut every day and shipped to airports all over the world overnight. The U.S. is a very big customer. And when Trump threw a monkey wrench in the process, I can just see the look on El Presidente's face. That message was sounded all over the world. Retired trucker, airborne. Yeah, you know what? The cost of roses might go up, and I could care less. Just saying.
Yeah, it went from, we're sending these deportees back. No, you're not. Okay, here's the tariff. Oh, wait. I will give you my own personal plane to take these back. Wait, I'll put a pilot on there. I'll go myself with a MAGA hat on. I'll take everyone you can give me.
He didn't just come around. He did a backflip.
Yeah,
he's got whiplash from coming around so fast.
Take my own plane. I'll help you out there.
If you miss a story, go check it out in my monologue. You can get it on the podcast. But I did my monologue at the beginning of the show about the fact that El Presidente of Colombia just fooled around and found out real quick that no, Trump's serious when he says it. Trump was going to label him, just slap him with 25% tariffs, and if he didn't fix things within a week, he's going to slap him with 50% tariffs. El Presidente came around. How about that? he's not El Jefe on this one.
he did that right all before Trump even took his tee shot on like hole
three. Trump was on hole three and he got it fixed by hole eight. Is that what we heard? I got a real long text from Bert from Owens Crossroads. I'm not sure what I'm looking at here. Is he giving me a citation from the law? I think he is, and I'm not sure why.
So, Phil, all of these liberals who want to stand in the way of ICE and other federal agents need an application of 18 U.S.C. 111, both the jail time and fines.
Oh, I see. It's two texts. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. Yeah, okay. And then he quotes the actual law. Yeah, I see it, Bert. Thank you very much. I realized there was two texts. I had to scroll up to see it. Good word, man. Lisa from Tanner says, some members of the media have short memories. Why are they surprised at deportations now? For goodness sake, Trump has done this before. Yeah, not like this, though. So maybe it's because this time around he's new and improved. He's figured out how not to give them time to come up with a stall strategy. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they lost their mojo because they cannot deny what happened the last 4 years. I mean, the crisis became so overwhelming that even liberal mayors and governors are calling for help. And they don't know what to do. So, Nani from Beverly Hills, Florida says McConnell, that's Mitch McConnell, is pulling a John McCain, last ditch ego. It ain't good. It ain't good. It ain't good, sister. Alan from Coleman says, with the new administration and efficiency push, what are the chances of the fair tax being considered and passed? No time soon, brother. No time soon. I think right now what you're going to see is the Trump tax cuts extended. You're going to see a reduction in tax basis for the average American, and I don't think fair tax has a chance of getting passed anytime real soon. It would have to be a little bit later on, if at all. And I say that only because it's a heavy, heavy lift, and they've got so much heavy lifting to do right now that I don't think this is going to be the thing right off the bat. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, not sure if it's a true story or fact-based fiction, but there's a movie on Hulu called City of Dreams. That is, in my opinion, an accurate depiction of what happens to some of the trafficked children. Their dream of a lifetime turns into a real-life nightmare of hell. Yeah, there was a movie years ago like that, starring George C. Scott, that broke my heart, and I couldn't stop watching it. But George C. Scott was just, you know, a small-town dad of a beautiful young lady who went to the county fair with her church group and disappeared. And he did everything he could to track her down, and he found up tracking her into the child porn industry. Horrible movie, but he finally found her. But it's an old movie. I need to go look it up, see what it was called. But it was the old version of what you're talking about.
Sound of Freedom did it for me, too. Mel Gibson's Sound movie of Freedom, was great.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, Sound of Freedom is the one that Jared was talking about, is even more Hollywood, he thinks, than what we're looking at in real life here. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, does Covenant Rescue have any admin positions open? 20-year Navy vet near Birmingham with a TSSCI. Chris, go to their website and see, man, because I'm telling you right now, they are looking for good people at all times. I don't know what your Navy background was, but I'm sure they would talk to you if they got a spot. Matt from Madison says, my stepdad had a cure for those kind of the offending members, nail the offending member to the floor of an old woodshed, set it on fire, and give the fellow a razor blade, and you know life's full of important choices. Well, I hope you're not speaking from experience. Jeff from Indiana says, you know, Phil, it's a good thing that you're catching the sexual deviants and putting them in jail, because otherwise there are probably going to be a lot of parents in jail. I know I'd be one of them if they ever did anything to my children. I hear you, man. Vigilantism would suddenly take on a new light. Two more texts, then we'll head to a break. Stephen from Athens says, thanks for covering the Covenant Rescue Group information and the sickos they target. I've donated to them before, and my offer to do IT work for them still stands. Perhaps you can put the Navy SEAL in touch with this old infantry officer and former Reserve Deputy Sheriff. Stephen, go to their website. Go to covenantrescue.org and send them a message. And I think they'd love to hear from you. Roxanne from Harvest sends me a meme. What she got? Breaking. Oh, it's not a meme. It's a story. Per multiple law enforcement sources in the last hour, Border Patrol agents near Fronton, Texas, were fired upon from Mexico by suspected cartel gunmen as a group of illegal aliens were being brought across the river. I'm told that Border Patrol returned fire. Nobody hit on either side. Illegal aliens did not make it across. You know what? The reality is they were allowed to return fire. That didn't happen before.
Yeah, exactly. They would have had to call Mayorkas. Can we shoot back?
They did.
And they probably said, let me get back to you.
The rules of engagement were so stringent they couldn't do a thing. So at this point, Shoot back, fellas. Oh, and Brian from Huntsville says, George C. Scott, the movie was called Hardcore, and a tough watch it was. Yep, there it is. All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Last break of the day here on a Meatloaf Monday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Man, we covered some ground today. We covered a lot of ground today. So one of the things that there's a new phrase, malicious compliance. This is so earlier in the show, I talked about confirmations. I talked about one of those being Pete Hegseth, who was sworn in over the weekend. And immediately, Pete Hegseth basically showed that he's able to pivot and react. And I love that. And it's kind of neat because it ties into the state of Alabama, because it was Alabama Senator Katie Britt who saw something being trumpeted by the Democrats. Oh, look, the DEI ban, and now we can't even teach about the Tuskegee Airmen and the Air Force anymore. It was such crap. It was such a wine fest. It was an absolute attempt to create consternation and generate this sort of sympathetic controversy, if you will. What we're finding, though, is that Senator Katie Britt immediately tweeted and said, hey, at Pete Hegseth, we need to do something about that. I've forgotten what she said, but it was something along those lines, right?
Yeah, basically, I can pull up the tweet real quick.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. The end result is she called his attention to it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And yes, she said that... I have no doubt Secretary Hegseth will correct and get to the bottom of the malicious compliance we've seen in recent days, and then just, you know, listed out that Tuskegee Airmen
and
he wasn't allowed to be taught anymore.
He quickly responded. Mm-hmm. He actually openly responded on Twitter through his own personal account and said something like, thanks, Katie Britt.
Amen, we're all over it, Senator. This will not stand.
And got it fixed. Article on Fox is right now, I'm looking at it. The Air Force has resumed a course on, this happened in 24 hours. Did anything in the Biden administration happen in 24 hours?
Nope. Maybe his trip to the beach, he'll get there in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. If they don't have too many, potty breaks on the way or something.
Yeah, exactly. After calling a lid on the day at noon and having his pudding lunch and then heading off to the beach again for another four-day weekend. He did that, by the way. I think I read that 40% of Biden's administration was on vacation. But the Air Force has resumed a course on the first black pilot's unit, the Tuskegee Airmen, that was temporarily yanked in what officials claim was an effort to ensure compliance with President Trump's executive order banning DEI. So the head of Air Force Education and Training Command, Lieutenant General Brian Robinson, came out and said, a section of the video that taught about the Tuskegee Airmen contained DEI material, and it was directed that that section be removed. So let's look at it one of two ways. Either A, malicious compliance. Somebody somewhere was trying to be passive aggressive and say, let's take it down and see what they say then. Or B, they were just going to pull out one section and put it right back up, but Democrats needed themselves a little trumpeting moment. And so they went all whole hog before it was really ripe for the discussion. Either way, they got it handed to them. Got to hand it to them hard.
This is kind of like if a parent makes a kid eat vegetables and it's just like, my parents want me to starve. I'm not going to eat at all. It's like, it's so immature.
Yeah.
And like, it's yeah. Deliberate too. They know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Hoping it wouldn't get noticed either.
I you know what? I'm loving the tantrums.
Yeah.
But more than that, I'm loving us refuting the tantrums. We just literally disarmed their ability to whine and carry on.
In 24 hours.
And I'm wondering, by the way, if Terry Sewell, Alabama's liberal Democrat, for Congress, I'm wondering if she's recanted her position where she called out the Trump administration.
I don't think so. I don't think. Kay. I think she went hiding.
Unbelievable. All right, listen. A lot of things happening. A lot more going to be on tomorrow. We're looking at probably having Senator Tuberville on with us tomorrow. We'll let you update the first thing in the morning when we put it out there on the agenda for the show. In the meantime, just know this, you guys, all you right side ruffians out there, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight.